Welcome again to Kingdom Chats. I am your host, Yolanda Lewis, and we have with us none other than
Michelle Cooper, aka The Boom.
So now that we have The Boom in the room, we're going to get ready to get started. And before we give you our topic, I'm going to ask that if you are new to our channel, that you would please like, comment, and subscribe. And so that you'll be able to get our videos in our later segments. Okay, on today, we know that Kingdom Chats is where we take one conversation at a time to provide healing, to provide hope, and to allow us to realize that we can talk about anything and still stay in the kingdom aspect. So today's topic is going to be learning to walk in your own shoes. We got that topic because a lot of times, you know, we'll hear people say, you know, we want to stay in our own lane, or you couldn't walk a mile in my shoes, or wait till you walk a mile in my shoes. And a lot of times that's going into living into someone else's expectations or exceeding our own expectations, looking at others' lives who have actually been on a longer process than us. I want to read something to us that I was reading when I was thinking about this. And it says, walking in your own shoes is a statement that describes living in alignment with your choices that will fill your passion and purpose and make you feel alive. Your truth is not determined by your parents, your clan, your community, your race, religion, or your nationality. It reflects what's important to you. So as we get started in talking about learning to walk in your own shoes, we're going to be coming from like different aspects. And I looked at it kind of like having like a baby shoe, a tennis shoe, and you're either your Stacy Adams or stilettos. And all of these are in common with growth. Today, we're going to be talking about it as it pertains to ministry, marriage, parenting, and job related. So I think The Boom is going to kind of give us a glimpse on the ministry part, and I'm going to get started talking about parenting. So a lot of times we don't realize that when we have high expectation for our kids or those younger siblings or whatever, sometimes we set the bar very high, and we tend to start pushing, start making things seem like a competition, among other things. And we don't realize that we look at the pros as being like, okay, they're going to reach their destiny. They're going to make this great doctor, this great lawyer, this great school teacher, or whatever that child's dream is. But we don't look at the cons. The cons is we can tend to cause one's self-esteem to be lowered. We can cause them to have thoughts of suicide. We can get to a place of them wanting to throw in the towel and not even want to fulfill their destiny, all because they feel like that their best is not good enough. We don't think about that as we're trying to get them to that place, but we should as parents. With the baby shoes, we know that a lot of times with baby shoes, we pick certain ones. We know like those hard-bottomed little white shoes where the kids use, and the baby's legs and their ankles are strengthened. They learn how to start walking. Well, that goes the same with a child when they're first born. They begin to start realizing about learning things about themselves and learning what do they want to be. A lot of times you can ask a five-year-old, what do you want to be in life? And by the time that they're 20 or 18 per se, that they've already changed that thing and they don't want to be that anymore. They have actually thought about some things or seen life and how it goes. And we don't realize that as they're walking and learning and growing, here it is, we've taken what the five-year-old have said they want to become, and we begin to start pushing. We begin to start saying, well, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Their grades, they're working as hard as they can. And instead of us, sometimes we'll think it's easy and we won't go and learn with them and help them. Because as a parent, we first of all must become our children's greatest cheerleaders. Regardless of whatever they're going to be, we just want to be their support system. If we're their support system, they're going to make it to their destiny. Because one of the things that I'm reminded of is Jeremiah 29:11, where it tells us that God has a plan for our lives. And we have to realize that that is an individual plan. That plan relates to you, the process it'll take for you to get to that place, but there's already something laid down that he's already put in place for you. Whereas we don't know what God has. We don't know the area that he's going to take you, and we definitely do not know the process. A lot of times where we fail is because we think that our kids are going to go through the same process that we did. Sometimes it may have taken us about 15 years to really get it down pat. Whereas it could be that what they said when they were 5, that they actually want to walk out that calling. And their process is not going to be ours. We can't tell them what to do, because without an experience, there's never going to be growth. So I know that the Boom has some interesting things that she's going to talk about along the lines of ministry, and we're going to give more clarity. Boom.
Within the aspects of talking about parenting, when it comes to ministry, I look at the fact that in ministry, we want our children to take on the same role that we did, you know, where we are today,
right.
But we're not allowing them to get there.
Right.
I can say as a parent, you know, I've always wanted my children to come into a place of ministry, but I don't throw my ministry life upon them while they're, you know, in their places of growth. Sometimes we want to push them there, but sometimes we can push them out of place.
Right.
And we can push them out of the process that they're in, not realizing that we lived the life before we came into the place of knowing who God is today. And we try to take our children around that way to hurry up and allow them to get in that place of ministry and forgetting about, okay, where were you before the Lord began to seek out who you were?
Right. Cleaning process.
There is a cleaning process, you know, that we have to allow our children to go through, because, you know, we can push and tell them, oh, you know, I know my child is going to be this preacher, and I know this, that, and the other, but, you know, we have to look at the fact that the Lord has to take them through the cleaning process the same way he took you through, because guess right. what? Before we came into Christ, we were filthy wretches undone. We were filthy rags before God. And, you know, and he saw something in us, even though we lived a life, you know, I can say a wretched life for me. And the Lord, in the midst of all that, he still chose me, even though, you know, I did things that I didn't think that he would even come to me about. But yet, you know what I'm saying, like I said, seeking out and knowing that we want our children to be saved, we try to take them through that process. And the Lord, you know, there's timing.
Right.
There's a timing for everything. We have to wait, you know, on the Lord's timing for them to come into Christ.
Right.
We can't push it there, because if we push it there, then guess what? We make their process even harder than what it is. Trying to get them to be us.
Right.
When God had to change us. And see, that also is, you know, a greater praise as a leader.
Yes.
As a leader, we look at the sheep that's up under us. We look at them like our children. We look at them like, okay, with them just coming in, like she said, with the aspect of the baby shoe, just coming in, not knowing who God is, not knowing, you know, what the Bible says, not knowing how, you know, what goes into ministry. We want them to hurry up and get there, you know, and what happens is when we want them to do that, we take them to a place of warfare.
Mm-hmm.
And to a place of basically, you know, coming down to seeing things that they're not even supposed to see yet.
Right.
Because they're just getting in. We can't expect them to be us as leaders in ministry. We have to look at the fact that they have to have a point of growing too. Amen.
Amen. And with that being said, we look at like, okay, have we as when we were children, mm-hmm. I know myself, I would love to put on my mom's shoes, and mm-hmm. a lot of times they were bigger, so you know, you couldn't step in the manner that my mom could, and usually it would cause you to fall. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we do, whether it's a child per se, or just simply a babe in Christ. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if we don't allow them to get rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and by the time they get to the, they start trying on the tennis shoe, which is too big for their feet because they have not walked out the process for their life, then they begin to stumble. As you were talking about warfare, mm-hmm. they, a lot of times they don't realize, why is all this happening to me? Because with every level comes a different level of warfare. Mm-hmm. And nobody tells them that. We can hear and see all the great and exciting things, but are we really covering the sheep when we push them out that way? It's even the same thing on a job. When you go to a job, now I have seen times where you have someone that comes in and they have absolutely no idea about the operation. And then they learn how to do one or two things, but they begin to become common with the boss. Or even sometimes in the church, we can get common with the leaders. And then once we get common with them and everybody is loving on everybody, then we want to put them in places that we know they're not ready for. So that's just like on the job aspect. You can find a friend that says that, you know what, me and you cool. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to put you in the place of position so that you can take my place as I go higher. And here it is. You got somebody qualified that's been in the kitchen or been on the assembly line or been in, you know, have sat in secretary seats or whatever the case may be, and they're qualified to go up into your position, but because we've become common, you want to put that person in place. Well, that person has not learned every part of the operation. They've not learned the inside part, the lower levels, and here it is, they barely even know the higher level. So what you've done is you've set them up for failure. And then when people begin to look at them, they're looking at you. You begin to be frustrated. Even when we look at our kids and, you know, one of the things the Boom and I was talking about earlier is sometimes you can get in competition with your neighbor, mm-hmm. with other family members or whatever as it pertains to ministry or it pertains to school or jobs. You know, a lot of times we are, oh, my child is going to college and they're looking to be a doctor. Oh, well, mine's going to college and they're going to be a lawyer or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is, we should see the greatness in our children, mm-hmm. or even as leaders in ministry, we should see the greatness in them. Well, a lot of times the Lord will show that leader, and I'm gonna push this back over to the Boom because, you know, this is my leader, even though she's my sister. But with it, we'll see leaders, and a lot of times they'll see the gift on one's life, and sometimes because you've seen the gift, but and they're on fire when they're in church, you don't know what's going on at home. There are certain things that one must possess, and that before you can even allow them to go into the places that God has showed you that's on their life. Boom, you want to talk about that?
Basically, I want to go back to the job aspect.
Okay.
You know, because when you was talking, you know, I was thinking about a certain situation when I was working for a certain company. And in the midst of working for this company, I had basically came from another store, and I knew the job. I was in the bakery, mm-hmm. and I knew the job and everything, and I knew what to do. And someone was brought in from the higher ups because they look at them as it been in a management position. But when they came into the position of bakery, they didn't know what to do. Mm. They looked at the fact that they talked a good game.
Mm.
They talked a good game, but they couldn't do the job. When it came down to it, you know, as like I said, as for working in the bakery, they didn't know how to decorate cakes. They didn't really know how to bake bread or anything. All they could do was manage. So, which means that, okay, if all you could do is manage, if I'm out or anything, then what happens to the bakery?
Ooh.
Mm. It's basically destroyed because the higher ups looked at the fact that, okay, they can bring in the numbers when it comes to inventories, but they couldn't really do the job.
Excuse me.
They were making the money, but they really couldn't do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, basically sometimes will call a place of confusion. If
yes.
Unless, you know, that going back to the ministry aspect of it, you know, when a person knows God and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, then they're able to get through situations without, you know, going to the place of being corrupt. or going to a place of retaliation because they know that it's not right.
Right.
But this manager was walking in baby shoes, but they put her in stilettos. You cannot be placed in a stiletto when you don't know the job.
Oh, wow.
And then, and in this aspect, you know, we look at the fact that, okay, why am I being overlooked? If I know the job, why am I being overlooked? But see, sometimes we have to wait, like I said earlier, we have to wait on the timing of God.
Right.
Sometimes the Lord wants to test us to see if we are in that place of maturity, like the word of God says, and Christ himself, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, until we all get into that place of maturity.
Right.
And that's not just in ministry, but that's in the job place.
Right.
That's with our families. We have to be in a place of maturity, because being in a place of maturity helps us to handle certain situations calmly instead of corruptly.
Mm-hmm.
We have a peace of mind instead of being in a place to where as we're always angry, we're always aggravated, we're always frustrated. And that goes, like I said, in ministry and with our children. Like I was telling our host, Yolanda Lewis, I was saying that even with our children, sometimes we can compare them to everybody else. And when we compare them to everybody else, we put them in a place of having low self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the magazines, our children look at the fact that I'm supposed to be like this person. I'm supposed to look like this person. I'm supposed to be this size, or I'm supposed to look like this, or my features are supposed to be like this or that. And it causes our children to look at themselves and to downgrade themselves instead of being in a place where as they know who they are. They have to know who they are in order to walk in the shoes that are for them. Because when you don't know who you are, then guess what? It leads you to a place of wanting to be somebody else.
Ooh.
That's in ministry. That's in marriage. That's in parenting. Because this is what happens in ministry. We look at a certain other person just because they're speaking in tongues a certain way. And we figure that, why am I not doing that? But you're still walking in the baby shoe. You have not reached to the level of having on the stiletto.
Right.
You know, everything starts with a seed.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts with a seed and it grows.
Right.
We may come in with our prayer life. We may only know the Lord's Prayer. But if we stick to the Lord's Prayer until the Lord helps us to water our seed and increase our prayer language, our prayer life, then we go into another level. We go into the tennis shoe.
Right.
Because if we try to go there before time, what happens is it's not effective.
Mm-mm.
And this is the stage that we want to be in. We want to be effective in every aspect. You had anything to say with that?
Yes, I was looking at, like you were saying, like with the prayer life. Mm-hmm. A lot of times I've heard people say, well, you know, I want to pray, be able to pray like this person or pray like that person. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that prayer is simply your own communication with your Father.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to use eloquent words. I don't have to use, you know, as they say, the big words and, mm-hmm. you know, sound really, you know, like I'm important.
Mm-hmm.
God is looking for the simplicity of it.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying from my heart? And can I have a simple conversation with my Father
mm-hmm.
that's sincere? See, one of the things that you said a while back in something else that you were doing is about people having mimicking spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to talk about that in just a second. But with that being said, as the more I communicate with the Father, the more my prayer life is going to increase, because I have learned that what God is responding to is his word.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people feel like they must say this, that, or the other, and then you begin to have a repetitious prayer that goes nowhere. But when I can quote the word, when I can come in alignment, in agreement with what the word of God is saying in my prayer, then God is going to respond, because he said he honors his word above his name. So with that being said, even when you were talking, dealing with marriage, I have to think about it. A lot of times in marriage, because I've done this myself, I've seen people that have been married 30 years and they've gotten it right. And they're walking, they're hand in hand, you know, everything complements the other. And so with that being said, you look at this and, oh, they're traveling together. They got this great life. It seems like there's no frustration. And then you go home and you begin to be the downfall of your mate, because you want to go home and compare. Well, why don't you do this? Or I saw this and blah, blah, blah. But we don't realize that the first 5 years, while they were in the baby shoes, they were learning each other. They were learning what they liked, what they disliked, how to walk hand in hand, how to complement each other's lives. But we don't see that. We don't look at the area that we are. And that's how come so many marriages, especially Christian marriages, fail. They fail because you have started comparing yourself. Now, you want to walk into stilettos, and you haven't gotten to the point of even knowing how that if your husband or wife has a bad day, how to get behind the scene. You don't have to step in the forefront, but how to get behind the scene and talk to the Father about your mate. You don't realize that to uplift them, to encourage them, and call them the things that God has created them to be. They may be in a rut right now. They may be something that you don't want, but can you speak a thing to them and cause it to shift and change? See, we don't realize that, just like ministry, the baby shoes are the babes in Christ. The tennis shoes are the ones that they kind of got it. But the stiletto and the Stacey Adams, they walk in full deliverance.
That's the season, saints.
They walk in, they know how to cause deliverance to take place. They know how to, they have gotten to the point that they've mastered unforgiveness. They've mastered these things of trying to judge, and they just want to be the help. They want to be the ones that God can use, the vessel to honor and not dishonor. So that, that when the saints see them, when they see them falling, you can correct them in love. You won't judge them. One of the things you were saying earlier, and then I'm going to get back, because I really want you to talk about that mimicking spirit that you were talking about once before. But one of the things that I hate that acts, that really absolutely just, if you want to pinch a nerve, I hate to see a seasoned saint be the cause or the downfall for a babe in Christ. Just like you were saying earlier, when you were saying that, We're learning, and we were saying with the kids that sometimes we do want them. We was like, okay, well, don't do this because this gonna cause this. Don't do that. But they still got to learn. They still got to fall in order to learn how to get up. And sometimes the seasoned saints will look at the other saints and forget where you came from. And when you forget, you cause that person to not want to come to church. They already don't understand the Bible, so therefore, they lost that. So where are they going to get the word from? While we're judging. On the job, can we be the help? Even going, like, one of the things, I knew your situation with that happening, and you would help her, even though it may not have been the nicest person, and that's okay. Because sometimes when people are put in places that they're not qualified for, and they know that they're not qualified, that's when the arrogance come in. That's when they want to cause you to go through a living hell, because they know that you're qualified and that you could very well sit in that seat. But sometimes we don't realize that God can fix it so that person can teach you, can help you, and God can open another door somewhere else. And you're both in position. But because you know that you're not qualified, but yet you've been common with people, or you have talked a good game, and you know how to mimic that you've gotten in the position, you don't realize that down the line, there's a countdown. And you won't sit in that seat if you don't know the entire operation. And you're not willing to learn and take it from those that do. But yet you tend to hide. Even as saints, Sometimes we tend to hide behind mimicking and praying and different things, wanting to sound like somebody else. Mm-hmm. But I won't go into that. I'm going to leave that to the boom, the mimicking spirit.
In the mimicking spirit, what happens is we project our minds on someone else. Mm-hmm. We project our minds on someone else, and because they sound so good. Mm. When they're speaking in tongues, they sound so good. Or when they're preaching the word, they sound so good. I mean, we find that some of us even mimic those that are on TV.
Right.
We'll take the word that's off of television, or take the word that's off, you know, the internet. Mm. And what we'll do is we'll bring it in as our own, because, you know, we're not waiting on the timing of God.
Right.
We're not waiting on our spiritual growth. So what we do is we, quote unquote, we mimic everybody else. Mm-hmm. We mimic Juanita Bynum. We mimic, you know, all these other people, Israel Houghton. We mimic all these people because we look at the fact that they sound good. But in the Bible it says, I think it's in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. The ending of a thing, mm-hmm, is better than the beginning thereof. The patient in spirit, and I say that word, patient. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. A lot of time we don't have the patience to wait on God. See, we're looking at their ending, but we never saw their beginning.
Right. Want a microwave anointing.
We want a microwave anointing. We never looked at the fact that they may have to go through sickness. Mm. They may have to go through being abused, molested. We never know what they had to go through for the anointing,
right,
that's on their lives. We just see the ending part, and we like the ending part. So what we do is we mimic them to make us seem like we're great.
Until the warfare comes.
And then, exactly, because we don't understand that whatever that person who has those great elaborate words, who's progressing in their tongues or in their prayer life, we don't know what they had to go through to get what they have. We don't know what they had to go through for that anointing, but we want it. We'll even repeat the tongues that they said. We'll repeat everything that they said. And then we'll wonder why it is. God, why am I going through this? Why is it that I had to be abused? Mm. Why is my husband beating on me? Why is it that I'm going through this certain sickness? Because you mimic somebody else.
And you got all of theirs.
And you got everything that they had to go through.
Right.
Even in marriage. What we, a lot of times, what we don't understand in marriage, what helps us to fail in marriage is we look at what goes on the outside, but we don't know what's going on in their house.
Right.
They can come outside and be all lovey-dovey. Oh, I love you. We make posts on Facebook. Oh, I love you so much, and this is my king, and this, that, and the other. But what we don't understand is, we're on the outside looking in,
right,
not knowing what they're going through at home, right, not knowing, like I said, what their beginning was. Mm. We didn't know that when they first got married, they were about to tear each other's head open,
right,
was headed for divorce and everything, you know, hating one another. But now that they stayed together and they stuck it in, now their marriage is all lovey-dovey. But we just see the end of it. So we're looking at our husband and saying, oh, you didn't buy me nothing like sister such and such, or you didn't do this for me. You're not bringing me flowers, and you're not doing this for me, you know, not knowing that that husband or that wife has to progress also.
Back with the marriage, like I was saying, you know, we can't allow, you know, say ourselves to think that a beginning marriage is going to be like somebody else's later on down the road marriage. We have to allow our husbands, our mate, our spouses to start, like I said, like what was said with the baby shoe and progress to the tennis shoe and progress to the Stacey Adams or the stiletto. Right. There are levels even to marriage. Every day is not going to be peaches and cream, and we have to understand that. Did you have something to say with that?
So with it, because I think we've kind of walked it down. Basically, all we're saying is you're your best you.
That's right.
When you're walking in the stage or in the shoe that fits your life. If it's marriage, learn to grow together. Learn how to complement each other's lives. And then you'll get to a place that you can look at. You don't have to compare your marriage to anybody else, because yours will flow as it needs to. In ministry, learn that there is a process to getting to the state of deliverance, which I call the Stacey Adams or the stiletto. While you're in your baby shoes or in the babe in saint, the baby saints, learn that word. Mm-hmm. And when you're learning that word, apply it in prayer. When you begin to apply the word and you begin to apply the blood, you begin to start having a life of fasting, your prayer life, you become strategic. Excuse me. You're going to get to the place, and then we still got to master unforgiveness. We got to master forgiveness. We cannot walk in unforgiveness and think we're going to walk in the Stacey Adams and stilettos without falling. If you cannot forgive someone, you can't deliver one. So with that being said, we got to learn every aspect before we can move on to the next level. So with it, when I begin to love on those that others may feel like they're unlovable, when I can begin to be patient and help someone, because sometimes we can feel like a person's supposed to get it. And this goes with anything. It goes with marriage. It goes with ministry. It goes with job. We can want somebody to get something so fast that we become frustrated. And then we begin to frustrate others until that marriage is falling apart. Until that person walks out on the job, until that child just gives up on their dreams or commits suicide or gets to a place where they're isolated. That's not what we want. But when I learn the shoe that I'm in, I can learn to be the best me. And at being the best me, that means that my life is going to be fulfilled. I'm not comparing myself to anyone else. But yet I'm walking in my own lane and I'm excelling. And then I'm going to levels and dimensions unimaginable. That's within my life. That's within my job, within my marriage, or even within ministry. Again, we thank you for joining us with Kingdom Chats. I hope you have enjoyed it. And I definitely pray that somewhere along the lines that we realize that if it's something we're doing wrong, that we correct it so that we can have peace, joy, hope, and love. I'm Yolanda Lewis, and
I'm Michelle Cooper, a.k.a. The Boom.
And we're out. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.